Let's go with the NFL report now, brought to you by Altec Supply. Strength through distribution. Canada's favorite master distributor, only selling through your local supply store, AltecSupply.com. It's now my pleasure to welcome Jonas Schaefer from the Baltimore Sun to take a look at the AFC North's Baltimore Ravens, who were 11-5 last night. And Jonas, when you look at this group, there are some people that are very concerned about the offense and where that's going to come from. Is that a little bit too early to get worked up about a team that has a great quarterback?
I think you hit it right there. As long as you have a good quarterback, things tend to go your way. I mean, obviously, the Ravens' offense last year was not what it was in 2019. That year, they were number one in the NFL in rushing efficiency, and they were number one in the NFL in passing efficiency. So a truly historic season. But even though Lamar took some slack last year, they were still a upper half offense, and they've added more help for him. The offensive line might be as good. It might be better. It might be worse. It's kind of a TBD situation just with the injuries. Obviously, there is already bad news with the receiver core, with Rashad Bateman probably missing a game or two after he's set to undergo groin surgery in the next coming days. But on paper, this is the most talented offense that Lamar Jackson has had, and obviously he's had the full offseason to get ready for what lies ahead. So I think the Ravens are optimistic about what could be in store, but things just have not bounced their way in terms of getting everybody on the field in training camp so far.
One of the big moves for the offseason offensively was bringing in Sammy Watkins from the Kansas City Chiefs to be the number two receiver behind Marquise Brown. How has Sammy Watkins looked so far in training camp?
He's been great. He's been the most impressive receiver in camp. And obviously, Hollywood Brown, who was their top returning receiver, has practiced just once. He's been bothered with a hamstring injury. Rashad Bateman has been in and out of the lineup until he had that groin injury, and he's going to be out for a little bit while longer. But still, I mean, you go back to offseason workouts and Sammy Watkins was dominant then, and today he was dominant again. I mean, going up against Marcus Peters, who went healthy as an elite cornerback, they had three one-on-one matchups today in the red zone. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. And then he ends practice with another touchdown over Anthony Averett, who had a nice pass breakup on him earlier. So he looks big, he looks strong, and the most important thing for Sammy, who's, of course, a former top 10 pick, is he's been healthy. And you just hope that he's able to keep that, bill of health clean, because the Ravens don't really have another guy like him on the roster who can do the things that he can do in terms of just being a big, physical, strong target.
Talking Ravens football with Baltimore Sun's Jonas Schaefer. And Jonas, the team had 11 wins last year. Who knows what's going on with Pittsburgh and the AFC North. Got to expect maybe Cleveland to continue to improve. So they're under some pressure. So has there been a theme from Coach Harbaugh through this training camp this year?
A theme? He doesn't really think too big picture. I think at this point, it is just all about getting through to the next practice. I mean, it's hot as hell right now in Maryland. So they've had some guys dropping like flies. I think they were missing 21 guys out of practice yesterday. Today was about 18. But I think that they know what they have. I think they want to, in the passing game, become more explosive downfield. Earlier in camp, when they had more guys available, you saw the quarterbacks, Tyler Huntley and Trace McSorley, because of course, Lamar was dealing with COVID situation. We're taking a lot of shots downfield. They want this offense to be explosive vertically. They want it to be able to hit guys outside the numbers, which Lamar has struggled with in his career. We know what this offense can do as a run force, but there are still questions in that passing game. And then defensively, it's just a matter of, keeping guys healthy. It is a defense that looks great at every level. Calais Campbell looks like the Calais Campbell of old. The secondary looks elite with Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters, coming together, and that the safety pairing looks better than it has in a couple of years. So no big picture themes. They're not really talking a whole lot about the Super Bowl. They know at this point they haven't even been to the Super Bowl, despite the advantages given to them by Lamar Jackson's cheap contract. But, expectations, I think, are really, really high around the building.
When it comes to defense, everyone knows the Baltimore Ravens for their defense for all these years. Last year, 14th in the National Football League with 39 sacks. Is the pass rush good enough for the defense this year, in your eyes?
That is a big question, and it's been tough to tell because this offensive line hasn't had Ronnie Stanley, who's an all-pro tackle. Alejandro Villanueva, who played left tackle for Pittsburgh for the longest time, is moving over to right tackle and has some growing pains. Up the middle, it's been kind of a mix and match situation. So the pass rush has looked good. Calais Campbell, like I said, has impressed. Justin Matabike, a second-year guy who came on strong toward the end of last year at that three-technique spot, has done a lot, not only as a run defender but as a pass defender, but as a pass rusher as well. And then you have, you know, Justin Houston signed this offseason. You have Dape Owe, who didn't have a sack last year at Penn State, but just is really, really flashed a lot with his athleticism and his speed. And the guy like Dalen Hayes, a fifth-round pick out of Notre Dame, has looked really, really good. So you add those guys up and you bring in back Tyus Bowser, who's probably having the best camp of his career. I don't know if they will be on paper better than they were last year when they had two Pro Bowl-type players in Matthew Judon and Yannick Ngakoue. But I think when you consider the kind of push that they might get from the inside and just everything that Wink Martindale learned and everything he's willing to do as a kind of mad scientist blitzer, I think they could be more productive just in terms of stat totals and QB pressures than they were last year.
Are you comfortable with the depth at running back position, especially when you look at some of the way the teams are using them?
You know, it's a good question. I think, you know, having J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards is a pretty good 1-2 pair. But it's even more diffuse than that, if you want to put it that way, because obviously with Lamar Jackson in this offense, he is probably going to have anywhere between 5 to 15 carries a game, which lightens the load on those guys. You know, you have Justice Hill, who's a former fourth-round pick who has been mostly resigned to special teams duty the past year and a half. I'm sure he's, you know, eager to make a dent in the league. They lost Mark Ingram to the Texans this offseason, but I think they'll do just fine. And, you know, J.K. Dobbins is a guy who led the NFL in yards per carry among running backs last year with 6 yards per carry. So he's a guy who's been able to stay healthy. Gus Edwards, despite being a physical downhill-type runner, has really shown no signs of wearing down. And you just, you know, trust that Lamar Jackson will put these guys in the right spots and make it easier for these guys to rack a charge because of the pressure that he, you know, exerts on defense, is just with that gravitational pull that he has.
So the Ravens, they fall last year in the playoffs to the Buffalo Bills, but really you look at this Ravens team in the last 2 years, they've struggled with the Kansas City Chiefs, and they're the team in the class of the AFC. Are the Ravens here in your eyes good enough to finally be able to potentially defeat the Kansas City Chiefs if they need to and meet them in the playoffs?
Yeah, well, in the playoffs, well, I don't know. Patrick Mahomes just take it to another level. But, you know, they won't have to wait long to face them this season because it is a week 2 reunion in Baltimore. If you guys remember last year, there was all that hype about their, I think, week 3 game in Baltimore. I think it was a primetime game, and the Ravens were actually favored going into that one. And Kansas City pretty much mopped the floor with them. So we won't have to wait long to see how those teams stack up. I think Kansas City will probably go into that game as the road favorite, just considering everything that they've brought back, their you know, renewed offensive line. But, you know, the Ravens are probably a top 8 team in the league right now. And even if Tampa Bay is a top 2 team, that doesn't mean that the Ravens will go in there with a 0% chance of winning. It's just a matter of, is the secondary good enough to clamp down on Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce? Can the pass rush finally get to Patrick Mahomes, because that's been a problem? And then, you know, can this rushing offense, which last year was surprisingly shut down by Kansas City's pretty weak run defense, do enough to, you know, keep Patrick Mahomes off the field and chew up these long yardage drives and, you know, put points up that way? So it's always a fun stylistic matchup. I think Kansas City has the better team on paper, but the Ravens have, you know, had the chance to learn a lot of lessons over the past couple of years. It's just, unfortunately for them, they haven't managed to actually beat Kansas City.
Jonas, thanks a lot for the insight. It's going to be fun. Always fun covering a top team in the NFL. I'm sure you'll be very busy this year.
Of course, guys. Thanks for having me on.